All right, here we
Blog
go.
Talk Radio.
All right, sound check testing one. Okay, we got our mic back working. All right, this is the Apostolic A School. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. How God has anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, and who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, because your word said God was with him. Holy Spirit, use me as your oracle, and allow the power of God to penetrate through these teachings. We give all honor and glory to you in the name of Yeshua the Messiah, we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to start now with Apostolic A School, and we're going to be talking about generational curses. This is a teaching for Apostolic A School, Generational Curses, Part 1. Okay. Just what is a curse? I'm going to try to make this as simple as I can. A curse is when you really break the law of God, when you do not obey God and you choose to do evil and break the law of the Lord. This is how curses come upon people. It is that simple. And throughout my life, I never knew anything about generational curses. I was a Roman Catholic, and I just didn't have the information. And how I got about these truths was through the wonderful ministry of Derek Prince. And doing this teaching, we're going to send you information on the books that I would suggest that you read. The most important book is the Bible. All right, a curse is the penalty to be paid for by the breaking of the law. Thus, the biblical meaning regarding God's law is consequences that will occur because of disobedience and rebellion against God. Let me say this again, Apostolic A School students. A curse is the penalty to be paid for the breaking of a law. Thus, the biblical meaning regarding God's law is the consequences that will occur because of disobedience and rebellion against God. And people need to know this. When you have a watered-down gospel and certain doctrines of the Bible you don't learn in a church organization or whoever way you belong to, you are really losing a lot of information. In the Bible, the Word of God says in Hosea 4:6 that my people are destroyed due to lack of knowledge. I suggest that husbands who are fathers in their homes are leaders to read the Word of God and train your family. Don't send them off to your pastor. They are your sheep. So we need to learn these things. Now, I want you to turn to Psalms chapter 37, verse 22, and I'm going to show you something. We're talking about blessing and cursing according to the Bible. Please turn. We're doing a deep teaching on generational curses. Psalms 37, verse 22. Psalms 37, verse 22. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. So when you are under a curse, you are cut off from God. Psalms chapter 37, verse 22. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. So it's very important. Most people are cut off, and they're under a curse and don't even know it, and they're in churches, they are tithing and still can't be blessed. See, because you tithe, you still have to do everything in the Bible. You got to stay, keep it equal. You just can't say, I'm tithing, and all of a sudden you're fornicating and you're committing adultery or you're lying or you're stealing. You know, these things will move us. Those are curses. But in certain churches, not all, and I'm not going to name any name. I'm not here to name churches. Some may have a prosperity teaching that does not put that in there. You know, I can't understand if you're having prosperity teachers out here, why don't they teach you about how to get prosperous? And how to get prosperous is to obey God's word and everything in it. It's not based on how much you give to God. You give a tenth to the Lord, some 40, some 30. That's based on your faith. You're still going to be blessed because God shows no respect to persons. So when we are caught up in doctrines of error, the spirit of error, you will miss these truths. And it is so simple. If you're blessed by the Lord, when you obey God's word, you are blessed. When you don't obey his word, the consequences for not obeying his word is in the book of Psalms, chapter 37, verse 22. Psalms, chapter 37, verse 22. And we saw that. We're going to reread that. Psalms 37, verse 22. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. A curse is being empowered to fail. You're going to fall. A blessing is being empowered to succeed. Okay, give me 30 seconds. The word blessed is in the Bible 430 times. The word curse is in the Bible 160 times. Curses can come upon you by having spoken words. You can speak something into existence and it'll happen. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. Proverbs 18:21. Let's turn there. These curses are constantly attacking Christians if they don't know anything about speaking the right thing. Faith teachers do it a lot. Speak the word. We walk by faith, not by sight. I'm high, blessed and highly favored. Well, you are speaking that. And when you speak words, they go into either the kingdom of God or the kingdom of the devil. And I'll show that to you. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruits thereof. Now, when we are speaking things, and we don't know what we're speaking, the devil can use that. I'm going to break this down as simplest as I can for all of the Apostolic A School students. Turn to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, and I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 12, verse 28. Go to Matthew 12. Let's go to Matthew 12, 25. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. Now watch this. How then his kingdom stand? His kingdom. Satan has a kingdom. And when you speak negative words, doubt and skepticism, that goes to his kingdom. That don't go to God. Then in Matthew 12:28, it says, but if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. So we have two kingdoms here. And when we speak these words, they can do a lot of damage. And we're going to look over that in this segment. Let's just look at your mother and your father. Before we even get into the biblical scriptures, I can discuss this with you briefly. And then you look at your family. I'm going to use my family for an example. My father passed away with diabetes. My grandmother, his mother died with diabetes, and his brother died with diabetes. And my grandmother's brother, he died with diabetes. And some of his cousins, and to their cousins, they died with diabetes and high blood pressure. On my mother's side, my mother had cancer of the lung and kidney after she got out of the military. My grandmother had cancer of the rectum. And my cousins had cancer. So that is a sickness on both sides of the family. My father was an alcoholic. I won't say an alcoholic. He used to drink heavy and he stopped. Uncle did it, and cousins, and you can see alcohol. Now, on my mother's side, there has been tobacco. My grandmother used to diff snuff. My mama used to smoke cigarettes. You grow up, and you have the same sickness that they have. That is nothing but a curse. Let's look at frequent occurrence sins of the fathers. Not caring for your children brings a curse upon men. Wherever you at, whatever race you are, you have a responsibility to take care of your children. They did not ask to come into this world. So when you don't take care of them, God considers you as an infidel. And that's a person who don't even believe in God. So if you're not taking care of your children, whether you're married or not, and the bad thing about it is that we're going to discuss in these series the curse that is really prevalent in certain communities here where I live at, the bastard curse, children out of wedlock. But if you see here in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, we're talking about not taking care of your children. That is a curse. But if any provide not for his own, and specifically for those of his own faith, he had denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. There are a lot of men that does not take care of their children. They make babies. The daughter never seen a good father figure, so that's probably why she pick a man like that. All this does go down from generation to generation to generation, a poor cycle. You see someone not taking care of their children and found out his father was abandoned. He was abandoned by his father. You know, when I was a young man and being used by the devil, I had a child with a wife. We were divorced. And I paid child support for 18 years. That is still not a father. And the Lord revealed that to me. Yeah, I took care of him monetary money, but because of the situation that had occurred and the enemy got in there, I was unable to see him. But you know, if you're in any situation like that, you can get it right, go back to your son like I did. I said, forgive me. Because I was in the military and, you know, I couldn't see it anyway. I wanted to get it right because I'm in the ministry. This happened about 4 years ago. Forgive me. Because I wasn't there, and here's why. and we have a relationship. Then the enemy got in, and you know, you don't want to get saved and any of that. But the good thing came out of it is that if you are in any situation, God can take the curse and turn it into a blessing, anything. Now let's look at frequent occurred sins of the fathers. We are breaking down to you about generational curses. I use my example, my life. Now, let's look at alcoholism. Do you know anybody in your family on your mother's side that drank alcohol, then the dad and the uncle in the same bloodline? Let's look at emotional abuse, physical abuse, addictions. I know the Pulpits used to live around the corner from me when I was a young kid. And I'm in Mobile, Alabama, and I was like, why is everybody so fat over there? Mom and dad is 300-400 pounds. Then the child, 250, 280. Father died of being obese. The mother died 6 months after obese. Then the son died. That's a curse. Addictions, anger. Anger is a curse. Can go through bloodline. Father have a hot temper. You're going to have a hot temper. But you're going to inherit his sins. Rage, violence, control, possessiveness, manipulation, emotional despondency, fears of all kinds, idolatry, physical infirmities, pride, rebellion, sexual perversion, unbelief. Witchcraft is a curse. There are two kinds of witchcraft. The spiritual in 1 Samuel 15:23 and also Galatians 5:19-20. When you try to control someone, that's a curse. Occult and also Satanism. What is a curse? A curse is death, it's disease, it's drought, it's anger, it's destruction, it's defeat, it's deportation, and it's disgraceful. What is a blessing? A blessing is life, health, prosperity, abundance, respect, peace, rest, and happiness. That is what God wants for all of us. Now, Jesus Christ has the last word about a curse. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 and verse 44, the word says, ye have heard that it had been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. Verse 44 of Matthew 5. But I say unto you, love your enemy. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despisefully use you and persecute you. See, people use people. God knows that. You may not know it, but bless them. Now, we're going to get into the fundamental basics of generational curses. Let's look at reasons for curses from God. Again, reasons for curses from God. Please turn to Daniel chapter 9, verse 11. This is Apostolic A School, the first segment, part one of generational curses. Let's go to the book of Daniel, and I will take my time for you as you study. You study in your own as soon as you get the MP3s, A-School students. I'll be sending them to you on your Skype. Please respond back to me that they are working and that you heard them. Then I'll send you another set. Or I will continue to send you another set, and then you just communicate back and forth with me so I can keep track of where you at in your own time, in your own schooling. Daniel chapter 9, verse 11. Yea, all Israel has transgressed thy law, even by departing that they might not obey the voice. Now, when you don't obey the voice of God, this is what happens to you. Therefore, the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. It is that easy. A curse comes when you sin against God and you do not obey the voice of God. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26. Deuteronomy 11, verse 26. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. Now, that's your choice. In Revelation 22:11, the word of God says, he which is to be evil, let him be evil. And he which is to be righteous, let him be righteous. You have that choice. So when he laid before you a blessing or a curse, it's up to you. So whether you save or not, when you don't obey God, you're going to come under curse. You won't be prosperous. You may have some monetary prosperity, but I guarantee you, somewhere there's going to be either sickness, lack. You can have a lot of money and still be cursed. You know, don't forget in Matthew 4:8, Satan told Jesus, if you bow down and worship me, I'll give you all these kingdoms. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 27, a blessing if ye obey the commandments of the Lord, which your God, which I commanded you this day. Now watch this. Verse 28 of Deuteronomy 11. Deuteronomy 11, 28. And a curse if ye will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God. See, I don't have time for this no more. Financial lack, when you don't never have nothing, that's a curse. Always lacking, never having enough, always meeting it, barely making it. That's a curse. Because the Lord says he will meet your needs according to his riches and glory. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. I got a 1997 Ford Taurus, and I'm saving my money to get another car. And the Lord showed me something. When my radiator went out, he said, watch your confession. I knew I was going through a trial. I'm with you. When I heard that, I had a peace. See, we may be going through turmoil in our lives. God is with you. If we obey his voice, look what he will do to us. Obey his voice. Because the devil would do everything he can to move you out from under the blessings of God, to put you in a curse. He'll bring a suggestion to you. He'll bring a thought to you. See, when I was trying to get my admissions done day before yesterday, because on the 1st of June was my birthday, which was yesterday, and every year you have to get a tag renewed in the state of Georgia. And, man, I had to go put an O2 sensor on it. Then I carried it back, and it says the whole computer modulation needed to be done. So I said, Lord, I know I need a car. And I heard the Lord tell me, watch your confession. Watch your confession. So I had to pull over, put some more water in the car, wait till it cooled down. And then the Lord let me, I said, go to the DMV. So I went to the DMV, and the lady said, you, Pastor Overton from Live Deliverance and Net Radio. I said, yes, ma'am. Three women came out of the office and shook my hand and said, hey, we really enjoyed your teaching. You see, when you obey God, things like that can happen to you. I'm just using me as an example. And they said, what can we do for you? I said, ma'am, I can't get, this car is 22 years old that I have. and I can't get a renewal sticker, I'm going to need a waiver. That gives you 30 days to get another, get you the tag or get the car fixed. Well, by then, by faith, I'm going to believe I'm going to have a car. So the lady said, here, take this decal. It was a July decal. Now, my birthday is on June 1st. I can still ride that thing from July 31st. You see how God does things. And small point, the Bible said, despise not small things. So when you obey God, he can talk to you. But when you don't obey God, the devil can pull you away. Because see, what the devil is trying to do is to get you to not communicate to God and the Lord, the Godhead, Colossians 2:9. He doesn't want that communication, so what do you want to do is put you under a curse. And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which ye have not known. My God. And it shall come to pass when the Lord thy God hath brought thee in unto the land, whether thou goest to possess it, that thou shalt put the blessings upon Mount Gazia and the curse upon Mount Ebal. Lord, have mercy. You see, this really works. Now, there are many curses for being disobedient. And the chapter to study that is Deuteronomy chapter 28. A school students, homework, Deuteronomy chapter 28. And there are curses for disobeying God also. And people really need to read this. Because God gives us the way through victory by his word. We should not allow our flesh or human emotion to get us in trouble. We need to get our spirit to grow with Christ so that we won't be being tempted to come out from obeying his voice, because if you go out of that, you come under a curse. Deuteronomy 28:1 through all the way through 21, study that. That's a lot in there, and I want you to study that. It is a powerful teaching on blessing and curses. Blessed shall thou be in the city in Deuteronomy 28:3, and blessed shall thou be in the field. It talks about the blessings, and then it talks about the curses. Study that. If anyone is listening to me, pay close attention to study Deuteronomy chapter 28. All right. We're going to now go to the first curse in the Bible. The first curse in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 3, verse 14. The first curse in the Bible, Genesis chapter 3, verse 14, the first curse in the Bible. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon the belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. That's the first curse. The next curse is in Genesis chapter 3, verse 16. Here we see Jesus coming in to redeem the curse even in the Old Testament. What do you mean by that? I'll show you. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 13. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Now you don't forget, when you disobey God, here is the curse. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou have done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon the belly shall thou go, and dust shall thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. That's Jesus. The serpent represents Satan. And he's telling the devil, I'm going to send my son to redeem mankind. Then he said the curse for the woman. Upon the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. That was her punishment. And mankind's punishment also. Now let's look at the curse for the man. That was for the woman. Here in Genesis 3:17, Adam gets his sentences. He gets his chastisement because he disobeyed God. Everybody gets it when you disobey God. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree of which I command thee. Notice he said the voice of thy wife, because it wasn't the voice of God. Adam was used to listening to God, so he disobeyed. He really disobeyed God. He was talking to God. He communed with God before Eve. That's why he said unto thy wife, because he knew God was telling him, you wasn't talking to me. You didn't ask me about this. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree of which I command thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. That is a serious curse. And this is why the earth is cursed in Isaiah 24:6. The ground is cursed in Genesis chapter 5, verse 28. Now, I want all of you to know, A-school students, that the devil knows about a curse. But notice he don't want you to know about it. See, this is why I don't like the devil. I don't like anything that don't like me, you know. And he's relentless. This is why we have to study. And you A-school students, I know you're studying because you've invested in this time. Continue the good work. All right, now let's look at the devil. Satan knows about a curse. Let's look at this. Job chapter 1, verse 11. But put forth thy hand now and touch all that he had, and he will curse thee to thy face. My God. Now let's go up to Job 1, 9. Satan knows about a curse. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for naught? Has not thou made a hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he had on every side? Thou hast blessed the works of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thy hand now, and touch all that he had, and he will curse thee to thy face. He knows about a curse. And that's why we need to learn about it. Okay, let's look at the first curse spoken by man. Let's look at Genesis chapter 9, verse 25. Genesis chapter 9, verse 25. And he said, curse be Canaan, a servant of servants, shall he be unto his brethren. That was a curse. Why? Cain killed Abel. Notice every time in the Bible that when they do something wrong, God punishes them. It has not changed. Now, we need to thank the Lord for his son Jesus. Because the only way you can get away and get free from a curse is through Jesus Christ. In Galatians 3:13, he said, "Cursed is he who hangeth on a tree. Christ became a curse that we may inherit the blessings of Abraham." Again, the main key to being released from any curse is Jesus. You have to go to him. He paid for that at Golgotha, the place of a skull. Christ had redeemed us, Galatians 3:13. Christ had redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse, for it is written, "Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." He didn't say crucifix, he said tree. Also, the word tree is in the book of Acts, chapter 5, verse 30. Acts, chapter 5, verse 30. Balak wanted to speak a curse on the children of Israel. Turn to Numbers. These are spoken curses that they're trying to do. Why is this you have to learn? Be careful that you don't get caught up and speak a curse on yourself or others. Don't do it. Send it back to the sender when someone tells you something. They may not know what you know, but guard yourself. Go to Numbers chapter 22, verse 11. Numbers chapter 22, verse 11. "Behold, there is a people come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them, peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out." Now, a lot of people may give me some flack with this. And I've had good reports on this, and then I had some negatives on this, but most of them have been good. Do you know that the Jewish people cursed themselves when they hung Christ? Turn to Matthew 27, verse 24. Matthew chapter 27, go to verse 24 and verse 25. "When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, 'I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it.'" When Pilate turned them over, let's look at what the children of Israel were saying to Pilate. Verse 25. "Then answered all the people and said, 'His blood be on earth, on us, and on our children.'" Those people who was at that crowd, when they was discussing Jesus' innocence, Pilate said, I don't have nothing to do with this man." Every one of those people that said this, "Then answered all the people and said, 'His blood be on us and on our children.'" My God. Deuteronomy 19:10, please. Deuteronomy 19:10. Deuteronomy 19:10. "The innocent blood be not shed in thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, for an innocent and so blood be upon thee." See, that's you can't do that. And that happens to all those people during the time of Jesus Christ. They was gathered there. Those Jews said, "Put it on us and our children," came under curse. Now, I want you to know that Satan, the devil, he want to put a number on you. He wants to put a curse on you. Study Numbers 22:17. Study Numbers 22:7-8. Study Numbers chapter 22, verse 11. Now, let's look at the general statement of a curse. This is a teaching for Apostolic A School students. This is Generational Curses, Part 1. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. We're looking at the general statement about a curse. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 33. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked. See, people, Christians think that, oh, I'm not killing folks, I'm not wicked. Unforgiveness is wicked. Not obeying God is wicked. So you can be, Christians can be wicked. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked. But he blesses the inhabitations of the just. There it goes again. Obey God, don't obey. It's so simple. Now, the Bible says that when a curse comes, it has to have a cause. Curse, and when the cause that comes from these curses are from generation to generation to generation. And you have to break curses. And through the end of every segment, I'm going to carry you through a generational curse break in prayer for the A school students. Write the prayer down and break curses and learn how to use this manual and this teaching segment to educate yourself on the strategies of the enemy. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 26, verse 2. Proverbs 26, verse 2. As the bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. It comes because you have a cause, and that cause is sin. Now, this is homework for the Apostolic A School students. Study this on your own. The history of blessing and curses. The first one is in Leviticus chapter 26, verse 1 and 13. That explains the blessings. Curses for disobedient. Leviticus 26, 14 through 39. Punishment for sin, Leviticus chapter 20, 1 through 27. The history of blessing and cursing in the Bible. Curses, Deuteronomy 27, 15 through 26. Blessing, Deuteronomy 28. 1 through 14. Curses. Deuteronomy 28, 15 through 68. Here are curses that may have access in our lives. Again, this information you need to know. Look at your family line. Ask God. This is the first segment. We got a lot to cover. Here are some curses that may have access in our lives. Mental or emotional breakdown. That's a curse. Repeated chronic sicknesses. That's a curse. Barrenness and a tendency to miscarry or conceive a child. I knew a lady had lost a child twice, and we broke curses, and we cast out some spirits of anti-Semitism and hate. The lady came back to me 8 months later, and she was pregnant. Barrenness and tendency to miscarry or conceive is a curse. breakdown of family and marriages. Anytime you have a breakdown, it could be done for psychological purposes. It all is the devil. Even PTSD, that's demonic. Financial lack, that opens up doors to curses. Accident prone, always getting injured. Constantly getting injured in the same spot. Well, what happened to you? Always getting hurt. That's a curse. Suicide and unnatural and untimely deaths are a curse. Repeated patterns of sins of the flesh is a cycle of poverty. If you're going in the flesh and constantly sinning and sinning, that's a curse, man. The demons, you have to get them out. And when them things come out, then you can break curses because demons are going to pull you back to sinning. Abuse and mistreatment from other people, that is a curse. And we're going to teach you later on about vagabondism, moving from one place to another. That's a curse. All right, we're going to move into some personal teaching that I want to give you to study for Apostolic A School students. When a person speaks the word over you, and if the Holy Spirit is not telling that person what to say, that can bring a curse upon you. This is why I'm very cautious of who I listen to. Very cautious. Let's look at this in 1 Corinthians 12 chapter. Watch this. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away into these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Here's the key. Wherefore, I give you to understanding that no man speaking by the Spirit of God, if they're speaking by the Spirit of God, watch this, calleth Jesus a curse. If you're speaking by the Spirit of God, you can't call Jesus a curse. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus a curse, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. So when you teach people, make sure the Holy Spirit says, do not worry about what you're going to say, Luke 12:11, that the Holy Spirit will lead you at that hour. Be very cautious of who speak over you. That's all I'm saying. Use wisdom. All right. Apostolic A School, we're going to close with some homework for that you study on false prophets. Why is this? Know who a false prophet is, because if a person speaks something over you, it's a curse if it doesn't come from the Lord. That's why I'm giving you these teachings to study on false prophets. Study material, A School, Jeremiah 23, Isaiah chapter 30, verse 10, 1 Kings 22:23, Jeremiah 14:14-15, Deuteronomy 18:20-22, Ezekiel 13:1-10, Jeremiah 23:16, Jeremiah 23:11, Matthew 24:11, Matthew 24:1-29. Teachings that can come out of false wisdom, 1 Corinthians 1:19, Isaiah 5:21, Luke 10:21. Two wisdoms. See Colossians 3:16. Let's go to close with 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 19. I want to make some corrections, A School students. Okay, 1 Corinthians 1:19. 18, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. That means the intelligence and intellectualism, God's not about that. When you speak the word of God, you have to speak by the leading of the Holy Spirit, or you put a curse on a person. I hope that you learned something on that, Apostolic A School students. That ends the first segment of Generational Curses, Part 1. Generational Curses, Part 2 will be coming up to you. Thank you. Email me or let me know through Skype that you have received your MP3 downloads for your sermons and that they are working. Shalom and God bless.
I don't know if anybody can hear me. This is Brother John speaking. What I want to do this evening is pick up from where I was the other night, Tuesday night. But before we do, I would like to give just a little summation of what Brother Emmett talked about. He talked about curses. And I want to summarize some of the things that he said. First of all, he said that mental and emotional breakdowns can cause as a result of a curse. And you can find that in Deuteronomy 28:20. You also can find that in verse 28, verse 65, verse 66, and 67. He also said, in addition to mental emotional breakdown, he said you can have repeated chronic illnesses. You find that in Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, verses 22 verses 27, 35, 59, and 61. He also say barrenness, repeated miscarriages and related female problems, that's a curse. And you find that in chapter 20. He referred to chapter 28, I believe. Yes, he did. And so I'm going to give you a summary of chapter 28. One, he says, a curse, how you can tell a person got a curse, you may have a mental and emotional breakdown. Also, in addition to that, the person can be have repeated chronic illnesses, sicknesses, as in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Also, he said it can cause barrenness, repeated miscarriages, and related female problems. That's also in Deuteronomy 28, chapter, verse 18. He also said another curse would be breakdown of a family and marriages. That's verse chapter 20, verse 41. It also said that continuing financial or material lack. That's in Deuteronomy 28, chapter. So all these I'm listing is found in Deuteronomy chapter 28. So let me just review it and I have further some more additional information. Okay, one, seven indications of a curse. And I'm going to give you some additionals. The first thing I'm talking about is the seven indications of a curse. One, you have mental and emotional breakdowns. You have repeated or chronic illnesses. Sicknesses, you have barrenness and repeated miscarriages and related female problems, you have breakdown of family and marriages, you have continuing financial or material lack, you have you be accidental prone every time you turn around, you're in an automobile accident or whatever, and then you when you recognize a person that have a history of suicide or unnatural death, then that could be a curse. And I don't want to go too fast. Sometimes I get excited. So I'm going to summarize that. Then I go into the additional curses. One, I said, you can tell the person could be a curse is a mental and emotional breakdown. Two, repeated or chronic illnesses. Three, have a barrenness, repeated miscarriages and related female problems. Four, breakdown of family and marriages. Five, continuing financial or material lack. Six, being accidental prone, always have an accident every time you turn around. I don't care if you're in a car, accident, or whatever. A history of suicide, unnatural death. Now, here's a few statements I'd like to say about curses. One, a curse is a penalty. You know, it's payback time. You're doing something with the Word of God. Say, if you do this, a curse is going to fall on you. I suggest that next time you get your Bible, look in the back, and look up the word curse and look up all those scriptures that deal with curse. You'll be well versed. Okay. One, a curse is a penalty. You did something you ain't got no business doing. Okay. Sometimes your parents did something they have no business doing and the sin fell on you or the curse fell on you. Okay. Now speaking about the sin fell on you, that's something else I want to share in a few minutes. Okay. One, a curse is a penalty. And he said that, he mentioned that. It's God's getting back. You know, you're just going to play with the Lord. A curse is an empowerment to fail. Words for blessing and curses occur. Listen at this now. Words for blessings and curses occur over 600 times. Words for bless occur about 430 times in the Bible. Words for curse occurs about 160 times. You want me to say that again? One, a curse is a penalty. A curse is an empowerment to fail, no matter what you plan to do. A curse is the word for blessings, and curse occurs over 600 times. Can you believe that? Over 600 times, the word curses appear in the Bible, blessing and curses. Then the fourth thing, words for bless occur about 430 times, and words for curse occur 160 times. And here's a general statement about curses. A curse is in the house of the wicked. You find that in Proverbs 3:33. I had my Bible somewhere around here. Okay, Proverbs 3:33. Let me read that to you, please. Proverbs 3:33 says this. A curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blessed the habitation of the just. Let me share that again. Chapter 4, verse 33, the curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blessed the habitation of the just, those who are righteous. Okay? All right. I'm going to go to James 3, chapter 3. the book of James, chapter 3, and it reads, James, it reads as follows. Hold one second. Okay. James, chapter 3, verse 33, and it says this. James chapter 3, verse 9 and 10, and it reads this. Verse 9 says, therefore, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. And 10 says, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be. Amen and amen and amen. Another scripture that addresses what he said. A curse does not come without a cause. A curse does not come without a cause. And what I'm going to do is go to Proverbs. A curse does not, in other words, it done something he had no business doing. Proverbs 26, verse 2. And it reads as follows. 26 verse 2 says this, as the bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying, so the curse caused less shall not come. As the bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying, so the curse caused less shall not come. In other words, if you haven't done anything, it won't happen. But if you're doing something you got no business doing, the curse shall come. And then, scriptural reasons for curses from God. Scriptural reasons. I have two things that he said a whole many things, but it was kind of hard to keep up. But anyway, scriptural reasons for curses from God. One is disobedience to God's voice. You find that in the book of Daniel, chapter 9, verse 11. Disobedience to God's voice in the book of Daniel, chapter 9, verse 11. Another scriptural reason for curses from God. Disobedience to the commandments of the Lord, our God. You find that in Deuteronomy, chapter 11, verses 26 and 28. Now, let me go back up real slowly. These are statements that he made, I was taking shorthand, concerning a curse. He said, one, a curse is a penalty. Two, a curse is an empowerment to fail. Three, words for blessings and curses occur over 600 times in the Bible. Now, listen to this. He said words for bless occur about 430 times, and words for curses occurs about 160 times. And now here are general statements I wrote down. I was taking notes as he was talking. A curse is in the house of the wicked. You know, if and ands about that. If you're doing something wrong, you ain't got no business, then naturally a curse is going to fall on you and your family. Another one, a curse can come from the mouth. In other words, you may say something you had no business saying, the curse can come from that. Another thing, general statement, a curse does not come without a cause. You find it in Proverbs 26, 2. Now, scriptural reasons for curses from God, disobedience to God's voice when it says that, or what he's doing is God commanding you to do something. He may be speaking to you. You know, of course, there's several ways God can speak to us. He can speak to our spirit. Sometimes he speaks to us vocally. Sometimes he will use a minister of God to talk to you, to tell you to do something. But many cases, the Holy Spirit can be communicating to you the instructions from the Lord. So disobedience, I'm not going to do it. Can you imagine? Because sometimes when the Lord tells us to do something, we want to hear the Lord. But we break out the tongue, I would do what I think he want me to do. I ain't going to do that because I can lose most of my friends. Or people think I'm crazy. So you think about what people are thinking about you. Are you thinking about offending or not offending somebody? Then you may spoil your second and third chance from hearing from God. Because when he gives you instruction to do something, you definitely have to do it. Now, another one, scripture reason for curses from God, disobedience to the commandment of the Lord our God. Well, you know the commandment, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, and so forth. And you can bring a curse on yourself by disobeying the Ten Commandments. Can you imagine that? Disobedience to the commandments of the Lord. And then, you know, there are other things he said, you know, about committing fornication, adultery, and all that other kind of stuff, you know. Okay. Guess what the first curse was in the Bible? That was the serpent, Genesis chapter 3, verse 14. That was the first curse about the serpent. The second curse was Eve. You find that in Genesis 3:16. The third curse was the ground. The ground was cursed, where nothing grew and everything. They had to leave God and go out somewhere and plant their own foods and everything like that. Curses for pastors and lay, and you need a pen in this one because I didn't write this down. I just got the scripture. Curses for pastors and lay persons. You'll find that, and I'll give you a minute to get your pencil out. Here we go. Curses for pastors and lay persons. You find that in Mark chapter 13, verse 11. You find it in the Gospel of Luke chapter 12, verse 11. Curses for pastors and lay persons. Another one, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. The book of Mark chapter 13, verse 11. And then the book of Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5. And Matthew chapter 27, verses 24 and 25. Now, let me repeat that for those who didn't hear. I have some more stuff I want to give you, but let me back up. Curses for the pastors and laypersons, okay? Not just pastors, but laypersons too. That's what the Bible says. You find those curses in, number one, the book of Mark, chapter 13, verse 11, okay? You also find it in, again, I said that twice. Mark chapter 13, verse 11. You find it in Luke chapter 12, verses 11. You find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. And you will also find it in Matthew chapter 27, chapter 24 and 25. And finally, you will hear it. You see it in the book of Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5. That's curses for pastors and lay persons. Then here's another one. Spoken curses, that's self-imposed. Spoken curse, you be saying something you got no business to say, and boom, you done talk a curse on yourself. Let me tell you where you can find that. Spoken curses, that's self-imposed. You brought it on yourself. You find that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, chapter 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. You also find in Proverbs, abbreviated, don't spell out the whole word, Corinthians and Proverbs, just abbreviate it. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18. You also find it in 2 Kings, chapter 2, verses 19 through 24. You also find it in Acts, chapter 23, verses 12 and 24, verse 14. You also would find it in Romans, the 12th chapter, verse 14. Then you find it in Book of Mark, chapter 14, verses 66 through 72. Then you find it in Matthew, chapter 12, verse 37. Let me repeat. Spoken curses that you can bring on yourself. That's what it says, self-imposed. Let me repeat. 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, verse 18. The book of Proverbs, 12, verse 18. Talking about spoken curses. 2 Kings. Chapter 2, verses 19 through 24. And you have the book of Acts, chapter 23, verses 12 and 20, and chapter 24, verse 14. Acts 23, verse 12, and chapter 24, verse 14. Then you have self-imposed curses in Romans. Romans, the 12th chapter, verse 14. And you also have it in Mark, chapter 14, chapter 66 through 72. Then you have in the book of Matthew, chapter 12, verse 37. Let's talk about spoken curses where you bring it on yourself, okay? And then, let's see, what defies a man, a curse? Okay, let me give you something else. Let's see, it says, what defiles a man? And that's a curse, okay? What defiles a man? Might as well say women, but you know the word of God, they had man in there. So I'm going to go as slow as I can. This one is, what defiles? D-E-F-I-L-E-S. What defiles a man? And bring a curse. What defiles a man? All right, here's the scripture. You find in the book of Matthew, chapter 21, verses 18 through 22. What defiles a man? You find it in Ecclesiastes. Just put ECC. You don't have to spell out the whole thing. ECC, Ecclesiastes, chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. Then you find in the book of Proverbs, P-R-O-V, that's all you got to put, chapter 15, verse 4. Then you find it in 2 Timothy. Just put T-I-M for Timothy. You don't have to write out 2. Just put 2. 2 Timothy, T-I-M, chapter 3, verse 7. And then you find what defiles a man or a curse. You find it in Matthew, M-A-T-T. Don't spell it all out. Matthew, M-A-T-T, chapter 12, 36 and 37. You also find it in Ecclesiastes. Just put E-C-C. Chapter 5, verses 1 through 2. Then you would find what defiles a man. Proverbs, P-R-O-V, don't spell it out. Chapter 13, verse 3. And then you also find in the book of Isaiah, chapter 56, verses 10, 11, and 12. Okay? That's what defiles a man. I'm going to repeat that now. You find what defiles a man and what brings a curse on a person? You find in Matthew 21, verses 18 through 22. You find it in Ecclesiastes, ECC, chapter 10, verses 12 through 13. You find it in Proverbs, P-R-O-V, chapter 15, verse 4. You find it in 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verse 7. You'll also find it in Isaiah. Just put I-S-A. That's all. You got to spell out the whole thing. I-S-A, Isaiah, chapter 55, verse 11. Then you find it in Matthew, M-A-T-T, chapter 12, verses 36 through 37. You find this one in Ecclesiastes as well. Another one in Ecclesiastes, ECC, chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. And then the last two, Proverbs, P-R-O-V, 15, verse 3, and Isaiah. For Isaiah, you put I-S-A. That's where you got to put I-S-A, chapter 56, verses 10, 11, and 12. And then, let's see, which one am I reading? All right, and then you got that mean old devil called Leviathan. You have to know about that because he deals with the curses too. And you find mentions of him 4 times in the Bible. And you find Leviathan, that's L-E-V-I-A-T-H-A-N. Let me spell that again, Leviathan. L-E-V as in voice, A-T-H-A-N, Leviathan. It's mentioned 4 times, and you find that in Job, J-O-B, book of Job, chapter 41, verse 1. And then you find in Psalm, just put S-P-S, don't write out the whole word, Psalm 104, verses 25 and 26. You'll find it in Psalm, just put P-S, the 74, verses 14. And then Isaiah, I-S-A, 27, 1, 20, chapter, 27 chapter, verse 1. Let me give you another one. The Viking primary purpose, he attacks, loved to attack ministers. I'm going to give you some scriptures on that one, okay? Put your little subheading, put Leviathan, that's L-E-V-I-A-T-H-A-N, Leviathan primary purpose. What he loved to do? He liked to attack ministers. You'll learn all you can about that spirit, okay? You can find it in Bible dictionaries and so forth in deliverance books. Leviathan primary purpose. It's what? Attack ministers. You need to find out all about that joke. I'm talking about pastors, assistant pastors, evangelists, you need to be ministers. You know, if you're a music minister, you're a minister that's teaching a college or a Christian school, you're a minister too. The Viking primary purpose is to what did I say? Attack ministers. And then he causes double-minded. That's when a person don't know right from wrong. One minute believe this, next minute believe that. One minute he believes in Jesus, the next minute he's just a mere man, these kind of things. Double-minded, okay? You find that in James chapter 1, verse 8. Leviathan purpose, primary purpose, attack minister. He calls you to have double-mindedness. One minute you believe this, next minute you don't. You find that in the book of James chapter 1, verse 8. Then you have not only the divine attack, he will give you a double mind. One minute you believe this, next minute you believe this. Guess what else? He will cause it's 3 double things. First one is double mind. You find that in James chapter 1, verse 8. And then you have double tongue. First Timothy 3:8. Double tongue. I mean, one minute you're saying one thing, the next minute you're saying just the opposite. Okay? Double tongue. That's another curse they drop on you. Leviathan. That's the one who really loved to attack ministers. That's his primary job, the violence. And look that up in the dictionary, in your Bible. Look up Leviathan, Leviathan, primary purpose is to attack ministers, y'all. I don't care what kind of music minister, dancing minister, whatever, as long as in the church, the Christian religion and stuff like that. Oh, he's after you. That's one of the pet leaders for Satan. Leviathan is the primary purpose to attack ministers. And you know you got ministers in all areas, okay? So you got three types, I'm saying. You got a double, he can try to give you a double mind where you believe one thing one day and not the, and something else the other day. You find that in James, the book of James, chapter 1, verse 8. And then he gives you double tongue. You're saying one thing one minute, and you're saying another the next minute, double tongue. You find that in 1 Timothy 3:8. Now, you don't have to spell out Timothy, put T-I-M. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8. And then you got what you call double heart. A double heart is a person. Well, let me tell you the scripture. Double heart is Psalm chapter 12, verse 2. Okay, double heart. And another thing about double tongue, you know, double tongue, that's flattery lips. You're flattering somebody, really, you know, it's not truthful. Double tongue. And praise the Lord. You know, you tell the truth for a minute, then you're flattering somebody so you can benefit whatever you're trying to benefit from. And guess what? These are some of the kind of spirits that deal with curses, okay? You can put this down. Types of spirits that deal with curses. Types of spirits that deal with curses. You got, with one, types of spirits, here we go, a broken, okay, when I say types of spirit, that's a seducing spirit, and I'll tell you what they're trying to seduce you to do it. Number one, you got a broken spirit. Write that down. You got a broken spirit, and you got a wounded spirit, and you got an excellent spirit. Oh, let me slow down. I'm sorry. You got spirits. I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Okay, I'm going to slow down. Types of spirit. One is called a broken spirit. Another one is called a wounded spirit. A wounded spirit. Another one is called an excellent spirit. And another one is called a lying spirit. Another one is a prideful spirit. Another one is sorrowful spirit. Sorrowful spirit. And then you got another one, a seducing spirit. A seducing spirit. All you deal with curses. A seducing spirit. You got a whoredom spirit. Remember the whore. Remember why that person's a whore. Well, they have a whore. They're cursed with a whoredom spirit. W-H-O-R-E-D-O-M. R-H-O-R-E-D-O-M. Whoredom spirit. And then under that, you got an infirmity spirit. That's the kind that always causes sickness to come upon you. An infirmity spirit. That's what it's a whoredom spirit. Then you got an infirmity, I-N-F-I-R-M-I-T-Y. An infirmity spirit, always sick. I-N-F-I-R-M-I-T-Y, an infirmity spirit. Then you have an anguish spirit, A-N-G-U-I-S-H, always causing problems, right? Angry, always causing disruption, these kinds of things. An anguish, A-N-G-U-I-S-H, an anguish spirit. Then you got a jealousy spirit. And then you have a rebellious spirit. Then after the rebellious spirit, you have an evil spirit. Now, let me have to spell it. I'm just going to go over it again so you can make sure you wrote it down. I had types of spirits, okay? One is a broken spirit. Another one, the second one is a wounded spirit. Another one is an excellent spirit because they can bring on all these curses on you. The next one is a lying spirit. Then you got a prideful spirit. Then you have a sorrowful spirit. Then you have a seducing spirit. Then you have a whoredom spirit. Then you have an infirmity, sickness, an infirmity spirit. Then you have an anguish, always upset. never satisfied, an anguish spirit. Then you have a jealousy spirit, and then you have a rebellious spirit, and then you have an evil spirit. Mm-hmm. And those are the different types. Those are the different types. Do I have anything else? Oh, okay. Now, let me tell you something. I got a few more things I want to say. Just so happened, I had a few notes because I was doing some studying, you know, several months and weeks ago. And boom, and God showed me a thing. I said, happy though. Look at this. All right. Seven indication of a curse. You ready? Seven indication of a curse. And I can't hear you. Perhaps y'all can hear me, but I can't hear you. So sometimes, Mr. John, you're talking too fast. So I'm trying to slow down as best I can. But I know it's hard. And some of these words are so long, by the time you write one word, I'm on the third view. Seven indications of a curse. Number one, mental and emotional breakdown. Write kind of fast, please. I'm sorry. You know, those who write slow, because I know you might be an age up in age like I am, like I'm 80 years old. You might have something there, 85, 86, and can't keep writing. So just make sure if you don't, just lean on the next person who was in the room with you and you get that person note. I'm pretty sure they'll share the notes with you because I can't just drag it and drag because I'm running out of time. But I won't get through with half the stuff that I want to say, okay? So if you shortchange the sentence, then just ask the person next to you when the session is over. Number one, seven indication of a curse, mental and emotional breakdown. Okay? You find that in Deuteronomy 28:20. Put that D-E-U-T. Don't spell it a whole out. D-E-U-T, Deuteronomy 28:20. Okay? And you also find it in verse 28, 65, 66, and 67. They talk about emotional breakdown. Let me say that again. Mental and emotional breakdown. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 20, 28, verse 65, verse 66, and verse 67. All right, the second indication of a curse. I got a curse. Is the second way you can find out. It's repeated or chronic illness. But repeated or chronic, C-H-R-O-N-I-C. Repeated or chronic illness. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 22, verse 27, and verse 35, and verse 59, and verse 61. All right, the third indication that you got a curse on you, or somebody got a curse on them, is called barrenness, B-A-R-R-E-N-N-E-S-S. It's two R's, B-A-R-R-E, and then two N's, and then E and two S. Barrenness, B-A-R-R-E-N-N-E-S-S, barrenness, comma, repeated miscarriages, okay? You know, barrenness, a person can't have a child for some reason. Barrenness, the second one is under that, and I'm still on number three. Barrenness, repeated miscarriages, and related female problems. Let me repeat that. An indication of a curse. Barrenness, can't have a child for whatever reason, comma, repeated miscarriages and related female problems, okay, as found in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 18. All right, here's the fourth indication of a curse. I'm trying to go as slow as I can, folks. A breakdown of family and marriages. Breakdown of family and marriages. As in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 41. This one is breakdown of family and marriages. Deuteronomy 28:41. Then the fifth one, continuing financial or material lack. Continuing financial, F-I-N-N-N-C-I-A-L. Continuing, not just here, now, and then, but continuing financial or material lack. You find that in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 17, 29, 47, and 48. And then the sixth one. I said we have seven, and I'm going to review it. Being accident prone, always in accident. I don't care if you're on a bicycle, tricycle, car, truck, wagon, whatever. Being accident prone. You find that in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 29. I guess all you got to do is really, if you can't keep up with notes, all you can get your Bible and look up Deuteronomy chapter 20, and it will state everything I said and then some more. Being accident prone, that's Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 29. Boy, don't you, Deuteronomy, got, just like Brother Emma said, that chapter of Deuteronomy tell you about all those 28s and why. I mean, why, in 28, why are you getting all these curses? It identifies them specifically. And then number 7, a history of suicides or unnatural death. Okay. All right, let me repeat it. 7 indications of a curse. Number 1, you have a mental and emotional breakdown. It's all in chapter 20, so I ain't got to say Deuteronomy chapter. I'm just going to tell you, you find it in chapter 28. All right, number 1, mental and emotional breakdown. Number 2, repeated or chronic illness. Repeated or chronic illness. Chronic, C-H-R-O-N-I-C. C-H-R-O-N-I-C, chronic illness. Number 3, barrenness, can't have a child. Repeated miscarriages and related female problems. Let me say that again. Number 3 is barrenness, repeated miscarriages, and related female problems. Number 4, breakdown of family and marriages. Number 5, continuing financial or material lacking. Continuing financial or material lack. Number 6, being accident prone. Being accident prone. And then number 7, a history of suicides or unnatural death. These are 7 indications of a curse. 7 indications. And let me tell you something about it. About, I'm going to give you a statement about it. A curse, all right, still, if you got your pencil and pen, take this down, then I'm going to be through. I'll be through about 10 minutes with this. A curse is a penalty. Okay, put that down. And then second, a curse is an empowerment to fail. A curse is an empowerment, E-M-P-O-W-E-R-M-E-N-T, empowerment to fail. Number 3, a curse, you got words of blessings and curses occur over 600 times. These are statements we make. I'm making 5 statements. Number 1 statement was a curse is a penalty. Number 2 statement was a curse is an empowerment to fail. The 3rd statement was words for blessings and curses occur over 600 times. And then the 4th statement is words for blessed occur about 430 times, and words for curse occurs about 160 times. And then there's another little subtitle. Remember, I said the first title was 7 indications of a curse, right? And then the second thing is you just title it statements. Like I said, a curse is a penalty, curses and empowerment to fail, words for blessing and curses occur over 600 times, 4th, words for bless occur about 430 times, 5, words for curse occurs about 160 times. And then the next heading is called, remember now, the first 2 statements was, number 1, mental and emotional breakdown. That's the first one I talked about. The second one, I'm just made put statements. Number 2, statements like a curse is a penalty, a curse is an empowerment to fail, and words for blessing occur so many times, words for bless occur 430 times. Okay. And then the next statement heading is general statement. This is the third general, this is the third statement. Okay. The first one was mental and emotional breakdown. The second was statement, just plain old statements. Now the third one, I got general statements. The third heading is general statements. Number 1, a curse is in the house of the wicked. Good, you know that. I got 3 general statements. The first one is, a curse is in the house of the wicked. That Proverbs 3, chapter 3, verses 33. Second one, a curse can come from the mouth. You bring it on yourself, and you better watch what you say. You find that in the book of James 9 and 10. Let me repeat that. A curse can come from the mouth. That's James chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Then you have the third general statement. A curse does not come without a cause or a reason. That's Proverbs 26, chapter 26, verse 2. Let me repeat the general statement. You have three general statements. One, a curse is in the house of the wicked. That's Proverbs chapter 3, verse 33. Then you got a curse can come from the mouth. That's the book of James, chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Number three, a curse does not come without a cause or reason. That's Proverbs 26, 2. I'm going as slow as I can, so I hope you can keep up. But from some of your grannies, hey, just grab one of those younger women or gentlemen and just take notes from them. All right, here's the, this is the fourth one, I think. Let me see, the first one about mental and emotional breakdown. Then, seven indications of a curse. The second one is just general statements. The third one was general statements. Now the fourth one, scriptural reason for a curse from God. Scriptural reasons for curses from God. Write that down. Scriptural, S-C-R-I-P-T-U-R-A-L. Scriptural reasons for curses from God. Number one, disobedience to God's voice. Disobedience to God's voice. You find that in abbreviation Daniel, just put D-A-N, period, chapter 9, verse 11. That's the first one. Disobedience to God's voice. Number two, we're talking about scriptural reason for curses from God. Disobedience to the commandment of the Lord, our God. Disobedience to the commandments of the Lord, our God. That's Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 and through 28, 26, 27, and 28. And then the last title I have, first curse, the first curse in the Bible, that was the serpent. You find that in Genesis chapter 3, Mr. Emerson talked about that, chapter 3, verse 14. The first curse was the serpent, Genesis 3, 14. The second curse, Eve was cursed. You find that in Genesis chapter 3, verse 16. Third curse, the ground, he cursed the ground. Everybody had to start working for their, if they want to fill their belly from now on. God's mad and angry. God said, I used to let stuff just grow and make stuff, and then you have to grow your own stuff. So, I had first curse, the serpent. That's Genesis. The second curse, that's Sister Eve. You find that in Genesis chapter 3, verse 16. Okay? The serpent was 3:14. The second curse was Eve. That's 3:16. The third curse was the ground. That's Genesis chapter 3, verses 17, 18, and 19. And you also find it in Genesis chapter 5, 29, Isaiah 24, 6. These are statements about the curse, you know. Revelation 22, 3. Let me back up. The third curse, remember, the first curse is about the serpent. The second curse is about Eve, okay? You know, about having a baby, leaving, having pains, and that kind of stuff. Then you have the third curse is the ground. And you find that in Genesis chapter 3, verses 17 and 19. And then you find it in Genesis 5:29, Isaiah 24:6, Revelation 22:3, Numbers 22:17, and Numbers 22:23. And let's see. Yeah, that's about it. So I covered the grounds. I talked about curses for pastors and laypersons. And I talk about spoken curses, the verses you can find that in. A person can speak curses upon themselves. And then the third one, what defiles a man, you know, that bring about curses. And I gave you the scripture on that one. Then I talk about Leviathan, the one who was after ministers. And then I talked about types of different kinds of spirits, a broken spirit, a wounded spirit, an excellent spirit, a lying spirit, a prideful spirit, a sorrowful spirit, a seducing spirit, a whoredom spirit, an infirmity spirit, an anguish spirit, a jealousy spirit, a rebellious spirit, and then an evil spirit. So that covers the subject on curses. Brother, let me say, I had about an hour or 2 hours. I can't remember. But I want to conclude from the presentation I made last night. I was talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And I guess he'll let me know when my time runs out. I may have about a half hour, so I don't know. Okay, because I know when the time runs out, he's going to cut me off. So if you all of a sudden you don't have me anymore, that means my time ran out, folks. My time ran out. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Okay. Okay. I talk about the Holy Spirit. He was a person, kind of a thing. I said, sure, he's a spirit, but he's a spiritual person. We are a physical person, okay? We are a physical person. And I'm going to just break some of the highlights. And he's a person that talks. He's a person that speaks. And, you know, and this is what he does. He's a person. He teaches. He testifies. He guides us. He speaks to us. He enlightens us when we need to know something, like we need some revelation about something. He strives to continue to motivate us. He commands us to do different things. He commands us to receive the assignment that he's given the apostles and so forth, and the men of God in the Bible. He intercedes for us. You know, sometimes godly men be going before the king and everything, and God will tell them what to say. He sends workers. We all know that. And he calls. When I say calls, I call you to be a minister. I call you to be a deacon. I call you to be a choir director. I call you to be a school teacher and attorney and so forth. He calls us. All the callings are not in the religious field, but is in, holy field, because he wants you to minister those people who you're working with. He comforts us. We know that he's called a comforter. In the Holy Spirit, he works. He does a lot of things, and I could have given the scripture, but I don't know how much time I use in talking about, you know, curses. So I'm going to shortchange a lot of stuff. You know, he was addressed as a person in the New Testament. He's known as the Spirit of Truth and so forth. Another example of the Holy Spirit as a person is seen. Remember the story about the Trinity? It said Jesus commanded disciples to teach all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the who? And the Holy Ghost. They're making reference to him. And he's also, Holy Spirit is God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. I don't have to preach a whole 10 pages on that one. And he's known as the Trinity, okay? And he has attributes, just like a human being. He's omniscient, he's omnipotent, and he's omnipresent. All these attributed to all three persons of God. He's all powerful, all knowing, and all present, just like Jesus and just like Father God. Okay. Now another thing I want to say about the Holy Spirit. And this is mighty. The Holy Spirit. He's the main one right now. Because remember when Jesus got, just before he was crucified, he said, I'm going back home to my Father. I like to say home. He just said, I'm going back to my Father. But yes, home. He's going back home to his Father. And what he's going to do is he says, and y'all, tell you something, this little country here, I want you to know that the Holy Spirit going to come when I leave. And he's going to bring to your members everything that I said. Because you wonder, it's like, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John dealing with the gospel and all that stuff, and Jesus said this, and quoting everything Jesus said. They didn't have that fantastic memory that you can remember everything Jesus said from day, from hour to hour, from night to night, day to day. But who brought it to their attention? The Holy Spirit. That's when the Holy Spirit stepped in. The Holy Spirit speaks to us. The Holy Spirit brings to our mind everything that the Lord said. The Holy Spirit also brings to our mind some of the scripture we memorized. That was the help of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, in John 14, Jesus promised the Holy Spirit. In John 16, he talked about the works of the Holy Spirit, which I'm talking about now. And then in Romans 8, he talked about the life of the Spirit, everything he did. Now listen at this. The Holy Spirit speaks to us as follows. One. He is called, and he gives it to persons according to where they are in spirit, okay? Everybody don't have the same gift, but sometimes God will give you one of the gifts momentarily to help you in a situation. The first one, the Holy Spirit, is called the Word of Wisdom. What do we do with the word of wisdom, Brother John? Well, the word of wisdom, that's when the Holy Spirit gives you the ability to solve problems and situations. And the second thing you do with the word of wisdom, he gives us a word of divine instructions and directions to give to someone. Because when they may call you and say, Sister so-and-so, Brother so-and-so, the pastor so-and-so, a deacon, so I don't know what to do about this problem. What should I say? And then you would hold saying, let us pray, because I just don't want to speak out of my mind, you know. Because some people call mind man. I'm not a mind man. I'm not a mind woman. I'm a spiritual man. I'm going to converse with the Lord first, because I'm making sure my flesh is not 100%. I know God gave me intelligence. I know I've been to school, and I know I'm kind of a bright person. But I want to make sure the Holy Spirit is in this one too, baby. You know, kind of a thing. A brother. Okay. So the word of wisdom means the Holy Spirit will solve problems or situations for you, tell you what to do. He will also give you a word of divine instructions and divine also directives to give to someone. I don't know what to say to this person, Lord. I ain't never had no problem like this. Man, she got too much for me. I can't handle it. You pray. I say, hold it, honey. Let us go to the Lord. Then you make grab the person's hand and say, let us pray. And you say, Lord, give me wisdom to deal with this individual situation and issues. I'm asking that faith in Jesus' name, amen. And then you find thoughts started coming in your head. You say, that's not me. That got to be the Holy Spirit. So the word of wisdom is to solve problems and situations, to give a word of divine instructions and direction to give to someone, okay? To give a word of divine instruction. The Holy Spirit will give you instruction what to tell that person they need to do to get out of that situation that they're in. And then that's the word of wisdom, one, to solve problems and situations. Two, to give a word of divine instructions. And three, to give divine guidance. And you can find these in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verses 13, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. They talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And gifts is like Christmas time, Thanksgiving time, whatever, when you give a person a gift, you might buy give one, you know, just give them some money, $100, $200, $300, or you buy a person a watch or whatever you think they need. Well, the gift is a spiritual gift that the Holy Spirit gives us, and that's for us to be effective ministers, godly men and women that can be led by the Holy Spirit and help people who are in serious situations, those who are sick, those who need some kind of instruction in life, and these kinds of things. That's what these gifts are. Remember, I said the word of wisdom. If God, the Holy Spirit come upon you and give you wisdom, because sometimes you may need it. You can get down on your knees and say, Lord Jesus and Holy Spirit, I need some wisdom how to deal with this, please. And you sit there. It may take a day or two, but he'll give you the wisdom how to solve it. One, he'll give you the wisdom to solve problems and situations. Two, he'll give a word. He will speak to your spirit, a divine instruction, give you instructions, some direction, how to handle or give to someone. Say this to her. Say this to her. Say this to him. And then before you know it, the person's going to be, thank you, Sister so-and-so, thank you, Brother so-and-so. That's the word of knowledge. Remember I said the word of wisdom? That's to deal with problems that the person has to give a word of divine instruction. Then, in addition to the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, all is in 1 Corinthians 12 chapter. Here's another one, word of knowledge. Guess what? Let me see. I'll just give you a little bit. I'm going to a little bit more about word of knowledge. The word of knowledge would give, that's when God would tell you something about another person, especially the person trying to misuse you. Then he gives you names of people when you need it. And he also help you find lost items. Where are my car keys, Lord? Because sometimes I forget I'd be supposed to have all these packs, and I pray to the Lord. I said, could you tell me where it is? Might take about 15, 20 minutes. He's trying me out to see if I'm going to be patient and wait on it. So, you know, you're supposed to wait on the Lord. Sometimes he had me waiting a whole hour. But you know what? That whole hour was better than going through all my drawers and all the rooms all through the house and everything else. So, and they found out the keys I was looking for was in my car. I left the key in the glove compartment. Names. So the words of knowledge is, like I say, he gives you names of people. He gives you what should I say about this? Okay. He'll tell you about different things that you lost. You don't know where it is. Your coat, your jacket, your keys, whatever. He help you find, he take where lost items are found. Not only that, he tell you who your enemy. I got down here, enemy exposed. And I got all the scriptures, but if I read all these scriptures, I'll never get through. The enemy exposed, 2 Kings 6:9. And so he'll let you know this person, hey, brother, so and so, he said, that person not real. They backstabbing you, undermining you. What? So that's what he or she's doing, you see. And sometimes they be seeking to get information out from you, and then they go back and tell everybody what they know, thinking, and they think it comes from that person when the person stole your information. And also address revealed. Let me back up. The word of knowledge. The word of knowledge, the Holy Spirit will let you give you names of people, tell you where you can find lost items, tell you who your enemies are. They were supposed to tell you where the person can't pull your legs. He'll also tell you what kind of relationship you're in, whether it's a godly relationship or an ungodly relationship, because the person may not be right, might have some wrong motives, or they want to befriend you. And then you have address revealed. Sometimes you may be going somewhere, and you might lose the address, and then you have to pull over the side of your car and ask the Lord rather than to drive another 40 minutes going back home the other way so you can get the address that you forgot on the desk, whatever. And then he will give you secrets revealed. Secrets revealed, what kind of secret that person got going. All right? I covered the word of wisdom, okay, to solve problems. Word of knowledge, tell you where things are, and tell you about people and where places and names are. Then he also give you discerning of spirits. Discerning of spirits is to say this. Whenever time you, boy, if you don't remember anything else I said, I'm saying this one. Discerning of spirits. Discerning of spirits is when you're thinking, it's not you all the time. Let me repeat that. When you're thinking, it's not you all the time. Sometimes it's your flesh talking to you, and then sometimes it's a demon talking to you. Some, not maybe not the demon, but like a demon talking, don't you want to get high? Come on, man, let's go to the drug place and get some dope and get some drugs and stuff like that. And he told me, yeah, I've been a long time since that, and I need to get a little high every now and then. I'm going through a whole lot of stuff. See, that's not you. That's the demon. Hope you go and get high and overdose and drop dead. And then while they're saying he's gone, or she's going to a better place, you better stand up in front of God. God saying, depart from me, you work of iniquity. I never knew you. Depart from me. I never knew you. So you have discerning of spirits. That's the third one. That's when discerning, that means understanding who you're dealing with. When these thoughts come in your head, because the battleground is your mind. Like the Russians. When we fight the Russians, we go over there. When we fight the Germans, we go to Germany. So far, we haven't had no World War I, World War II, and all that over in our country. Whenever we had a war, we went over to the mother folks' country and shoot up and blow up all their countries and stuff. We've never been really fortunate. So the same thing with thoughts. Think about that. When you're thinking, I don't care whatever you're reading or riding on the bus or cruising in the car, sitting in the park, thoughts can come in your head. Before you receive it, you should ask yourself, who is saying this to me? Then you're not crazy for saying that. Who's just saying it to me? It's me. I'm thinking it. Not necessarily, because it's coming in your head. Don't necessarily mean it's you. It could be three things. It either can be the Spirit of God trying to communicate some instructions to you, or it can be your human spirit telling, and she fine, and he fine. I want to get high tonight. The third thing, demonic spirit. See, now that's the Spirit of God, and then you got the human spirit. That's you, what God gave you, your spirit that's in you. Then you have a demonic spirit, and that's the one who got that demonic instruction, try to get you to do everything and violate the Bible. So you can't get tricked by the devil if you know the Bible. And then plus the other things God commanded us, so you got to stay in the Word. So when that good thought come in your mind, you're thinking, wow, man, yeah, I can do that. And that might be an abomination, just like all these folks going around here doing lesbianism crap and pornography, homosexual, lesbians, fornication, adultery, all that sin. If you drop dead coming out of that bedroom and getting in your car and you drop dead, an angel going to come down from heaven right quick and snatch you up and say, let's go. And you know the Bible says it points to all men and women to die, and after that, the what? The judgment. So as soon as you die in that car accident, a heart attack going home from sneaking out somewhere, your spirit is in the presence of the Lord. I is in the casket, and somebody lying over you talking about, you've gone to a better place. He's gone to a better place. He's gone to a better place. Bless his heart. And he down there screaming like, I don't know what, down in hell. Especially when the Lord himself, who died on that cross for him, told us that, I never knew you. Depart from me, you work of iniquity. Can you imagine teaching church, teaching Sunday school, visiting the sick as a chaplain, being one of the deacons or deaconess, and you're doing all your charitable duties, but you're just playing games, and you die. You say, well, and all your family members are gnashing the cats. Well, she or he gone to a better place. And why are you saying that? She or he is standing in front of the Lord who's saying, depart from me, you worker, I never knew you. You see? So remember, if you don't remember anything else, remember, just because you're thinking it, that's not you. Sometimes it may be your flesh. Your flesh may jump and say, oh, I haven't done this long. I want some more of this. but remember, the flesh got its desires too. So you got many things talking to you. You got the Holy Spirit talking to you. You got Jesus talking to you. You got to learn to discern their voice. Then you got the demon talking to you too, these kind of things, okay? So remember, just because you're thinking it, that don't mean you. Then the Holy Spirit said, I want to give him the gift of prophecy. So what is the gift of prophecy, Brother John? See, prophecy is a message of utterance through an individual from God. So that means someone will come up to you under the leading of the Lord, because it's prophecy, to go and prophesy to this person. Go tell Brother John this and go tell Sister So-and-so this. Say, okay, Lord, and the Holy Spirit will tell you succinctly what you should say. And what you'll be saying in some cases will be to give the person strength, because they're on their feet like they're on their last leg, to encourage them as well as to comfort the person, okay? So there are three good reasons why he gives somebody a gift of prophecy, because he's not scared. I'm not going to say to that person, the person might beat me up, and that person might cuss me or put me down or something like that, may not like me no more kind of thing. But let me tell you, if God tells you to do something, you don't do it, you won't hear from him no more. Okay? God ain't obey you. Now, look, I done told you three times. Would you go and tell that person this to me, please? I don't know, sir. You know, he or she may not like what I got to say, and I'll be losing a good friend. Well, by being disobedient, you can cause that good friend his or her life. So the gift of prophecy is figure out, and prophecy means discernment. You got to figure out what's going on. You really got to think. Give a prophecy, and the Holy Spirit going to tell you what you do with that person needs. Okay? And the purpose of you taking the message of that person is to strengthen that person, to encourage that person, to comfort that person. And then next in the gift of kinds of tongues, and then you have tongues. You find that in 1 Corinthians 13 chapter. You heard it's like I heard all these years about tongues that cease and tongues that not cease. Well, you got to look at 1 Corinthians 13 chapter, verses 8. And 9 and 10, verses 8, 9, and 10. And they named three elements. And let me go to it right quick. First Corinthians. Come on, John, I don't know how much time I got. Yeah. First Corinthians, the 13th chapter, it says this. Here we go. Verse 8 says, charity, which means love, never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, now prophecy is just you telling the person what to do to help them. The Holy Spirit may tell the pastor, say this to the congregation. Maybe something like, I bless you, I'm pleased with you, I love you, and these kinds of things. Words of prophecy to encourage the person, these kinds of things. And then it says, prophecy, they shall fail. Now you can look at the King James Version and the New King James Version. And none of them said, Lord, have mercy. I got my window wide open. People all in the street can look at me. I didn't realize my window was open. And close this window. And it blinds. Okay. Charity never fails, but whether there be prophecy. Prophecy means God using that minister or other folk to just share what they need to know. And then the next one is say, and tongues, they shall fail. Now, they say tongue has. Everybody say tongue has. They look at it. The word say shall. Shall is future tense, y'all. You got past, present, and future tense. So chapter 13, verse 8 says, charity, which means love, never fail. Whether there be prophecies, and that's God using the ministers or a godly woman or man to relay a message to a person he wants them to be ministered to. And they shall fail. Well, fail because when he comes back, he don't need all these, he can speak that personally. And then the second one, and whether there be tongues, they shall. I don't know where to get that. It's, I don't care what version. Look at it. It says, they shall cease, which means shall is future tense. You can ask every English teacher in every high school and every university and college. They'll tell you shall is future tense and will is future tense. And then the third one, and whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. See how slick the devil is? He didn't use knowledge. How y'all feel if he walked around and told me, and pastor be walking around and minister be walking around, haven't you heard? Knowledge has ceased, you dummy. Knowledge has ceased. Look how much knowledge man is doing, you know? Okay. So knowledge has not ceased. It says knowledge will. And the reason is their will is because when you look at verse 9, it says, and we know in part, and we prophesy in part. And so God says we don't know everything. So when we give our opinion, our intellectual, whatever presentation, folks, it's just in part. It's not the full meaning of whatever we're talking about. You still don't have the full understanding. So he says that's in part. You're going to prophesy in part because when that, then number 10 give you the clue. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. And that which is perfect is Jesus. And we don't have to guess and does we supposed to do this? Is this right? Do we supposed to build these buildings?
1 minute.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, I'm coming to a close right now. So that's what it is. They all say tongue. The devil say has because he know that when a man gets get tongues, he's speaking by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is talking, not the man or the woman, okay? And he's giving you a revelation. And I thank you for your time that you've given me, and God bless you. And I appreciate Brother Emmett to give me a time to brush up on the gift, I mean the curses. And so I share with him, and the Lord showed me some notes I had I didn't even know I had. So anyway, I just want to say, I mean, I loved it. I mean, I did a whole thing on curses. I didn't know I had God had shown me, look over there, boy. And there it was. So I want to say good night to everybody. God bless you. And Brother Emmett, I appreciate you giving me this time. In Jesus' name I pray. Oh. Amen.
Sister Asha, do you need any prayer? Erico 256. Erico 256. Okay. Those who want to continue this segment, we're going to continue part two. The pastors have decided to stay in here. I got extra minutes for learning for demonology and generational curses. We're going to generational curses part two as of now. All right, this is for Apostolic A School, School of Deliverance. This is a generational curse break in prayer. Write this down. Take notes on it. Usually when you lead people to the Lord, get them saved, you have to break curses. And if you don't break curses in a person's life, their life's going to be affected by their sin. All right, let's go. Heavenly Father, I repent of any sins in my life or my ancestors' lives that have resulted in a curse. I repent of all disobedience, rebellion, perversion, witchcraft, idolatry, loss, adultery, fornication, mistreatment of others, murder, cheating, lying, sorcery, divination, and occult involvement. I ask for your forgiveness and cleansing through the blood of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus of Nazareth, take authority over and break any and every curse upon my life. The Lord Jesus of Nazareth, break all curses of poverty, lack, debt, destruction, sickness, death, and vagabondism. The Lord break all curses of rejection, pride, rebellion, loss, hurt, incest, rape, Ahab, Jezebel, fear, insanity, madness, and confusion on my mother's side, all the way back to Adam and Eve, on my father's side, all the way back to Adam and Eve. The Lord Jesus of Nazareth, break all curses affecting my finances, my mind, my sexual character, my emotion, my will, and relationships. On my father's side, all the way back to Adam and Eve. And on my mother's side, all the way back to Adam and Eve. The Lord Jesus of Nazareth, break every hex, jex, spell, spoken curse over my life. on my father's side, all the way back to Adam and Eve. On my mother's side, all the way back to Adam and Eve. The Lord Jesus of Nazareth, break every fetter, shackle, chain, coil, habit, cycle that is a result of a curse. On my father's side, all the way back to Adam and Eve. On my mother's side, all the way back to Adam and Eve. According to Galatians 3:13, I have been redeemed from the curse of the law. By the sacrifice of Jesus, I exercise my faith in the blood of Jesus and loose myself and my descendants from any and every curse. I claim forgiveness through the blood of Jesus for the sins of the fathers. All my sins have been remitted, and I loose myself from the curse that came as a result of all disobedience and rebellion to the word of God. I exercise my faith. I know that confession is made unto salvation. Therefore, I confess that Abraham's blessings are mine, according to Galatians 3:14. I am not cursed, but blessed. I am the head and not the tail, Deuteronomy 20:13. I am above and not beneath. I am blessed coming in and blessed going out. I am blessed with what God has blessed me with, cannot be cursed anymore. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I pray, amen. That is the generational curse-breaking prayer. That is the second segment of generational curse-breaking, part two. Part three will be coming up momentarily.